Maybe the Green Bay Packers really are just waiting on Aaron Rodgers to make a decision, and that they really are fine with whatever he decides. But isn't that exactly what they have to say? Plus, Super Bowl champion, former Green Bay Packer Marshall Newhouse on the show today, talking Aaron Rodgers' leadership and a lot more.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table. Whatever you do.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Bob.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Peter Bukowski and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Today on the show, Marshall Newhouse, former Green Bay Packers offensive lineman. He played with some of the iconic quarterbacks of the last 15, 20 years, Eli Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. So he has a lot of fascinating insight about a lot. Today's episode brought to you by the Ultimate GM game. You got to check it out to download the game. Visit ultimate-gm.com and you can use the promo code Locked On to get a free game boost. Something we talked about earlier in the week was this issue that I had with the Packers and the report from over the weekend that they were fine with whatever Rodgers decided, or at least they were just going to wait. You want to come back? You can come back. You want to leave? We'll trade you. And I continue to believe that if that is true, and that is a big qualifier, and it was one that I don't think I was fervent enough about expressing the other day, and this is why I want to bring it up again. If that qualifier is true, it says some potentially damning things about this front office and the control that they have over this situation. On the other hand, what I have said from the start is that the Packers have a circumstance that they view as the optimal place for Rodgers to play if he wants to return. They presented it and they know it is not exactly what Aaron Rodgers wants. Now, we can ascribe whatever level of underhandedness in all of this that we want. I don't have a strong take on that. I don't, frankly, even care that much. But think about this. Let's say you have a partner, a spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. And they say, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. But if you want to break up, fine. We can break up. Like that, even if that you think about it, you rationalize and you go, well, you know, there's a logical set of steps you can get to say, okay, I think that's a reasonable place to be in, even in a healthy relationship, right? I think you say, well, if you don't want to be with me, then I don't want to be with you. And that's fine. But it's probably not what you want to hear. What you want to hear is, we want you. We want you. We want you, Aaron Rodgers. Presumably, that's what Aaron Rodgers wants to hear. And I don't even mean that as a shot at Aaron Rodgers. I think that's what a lot of people would want to hear. I think that is what most people would want to hear. And so it is almost damning with faint praise to say, well, Aaron, look, we'd love to have you, but if you want to go, vaya con Dios. I guess we'll trade you. That's probably not exactly what you want to hear, but maybe that's the point. And the Packers get to say, look, we said we wanted you back. And you didn't like the circumstances, and so you made this decision, and maybe this is as simple as PR framing. I certainly think that is part of it. But there is also a more pragmatic way to view this, or at least another. I think there's a lot happening here all at once, and I think there's truths and kernels of all of it, and we'll probably never get the full picture of what was really happening because, for example, you know, there's that great anecdote from Ty Dunn's story of Mark Murphy saying to Aaron Rodgers, "Don't be the problem," and both Mark Murphy and Aaron Rodgers have said that that didn't happen, but. Of course, they're both going to say that. Like, that's just how this works. If it happened, you're going to say it didn't. That's just how messaging works. I don't know what to tell you. What you want, though, is for the rest of the league to believe the Green Bay Packers won Aaron Rodgers. Because what you don't want is for the league to view Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers the same way that they viewed Derek Carr and the Raiders. They knew he was out. They benched him. And everyone knew about this deadline with the contract. So no one was going to give the Raiders anything of value for Derek Carr. I said, I thought, you know, maybe an Amari Cooper-like, we know you're going to cut him. We're going to pay for the rights to just make sure he comes to our team. Fifth round, sixth round pick kind of situation. It still seems crazy that that's ultimately what Dallas landed on, because you would have thought that they could have gotten a lot more than that. If you're going to get something, couldn't you have said, hey, they're going to give us a sixth. Do we want to give us a fifth? Oh, they're going to give us a fifth. Do you want to give us a fourth? And they could have bumped this up a lot more than they did. The difference for Derek Carr is he has a no trade clause. So he can just say, no, I'm riding this out. And that's eventually, at least according to the reports, what happened. So what you want is teams to believe you want him back. So it is actually important to get this out there when teams can go, okay, well, they're going to keep him if he wants to be back. That means we need to make a good offer. Now, you hope that those offers are coming in. The Jets have reportedly already made phone calls and inquiries about this. So maybe there is some discussion about what's actually going on here. Maybe there's not. We'll see. But you want teams to not only think you want him back if he wants to be back, but you also want them to think you would trade him if he wants to be traded. Teams are going to call no matter what. But for example, during the spring of 2021, during the Adam Schefter days, there were these conversations. The 49ers, we don't know exactly what happened because John Lynch said they called and Kyle Shanahan said they didn't call. And then there was this understanding that, oh, okay, what happened was Kyle Shanahan asked Matt LaFleur, what's the deal? And he said, don't even bother. We're not trading him. And so no official trade call, whatever. But what it turned out was there was... the reporting around Denver is Denver never actually made an offer. No offers were ever actually made. Brian Gutekunst said it wasn't like the phone was ringing off the hook. They had a conversation. A team called. They said, no, thanks. Teams didn't think Aaron Rodgers was actually going to be traded. And so you self-select out. You say, well, they're not trading Aaron Rodgers. This is kind of what happened with A.J. Brown. That deal started in another place, according to the reports. Diane Orsini has laid out the timeline on this. It's why I always push back when my buddy Jason Hirschhorn, America's guest, and my co-founder of The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to, will not stop talking about the A.J. Brown deal, because I just don't think it was out there for 31 other teams to make, or I guess in this case, 30 other teams to make. They called about something else. It ended up being A.J. Brown. This was not open season. The Packers want teams to call. They want teams to think that their calls will be taken. And you kind of want teams to think their calls will be taken irrespective of what the Packers want or what Aaron Rodgers wants. That maybe the Packers would be willing to do this even if both sides kind of want to make this work, which is the line they're attempting to straddle right now. Yeah, we'll take him back, but we'll also give him to you if you pay us enough. Which may be telling enough, and maybe teams aren't going to fall for it. If Aaron Rodgers wants out, though, he's still going to get plenty in a trade. And it's hard not to think that this idea that they're not, you know, all, like the last 2 years, they have said, we're not trading Aaron Rodgers. They made it very clear when Rodgers was at his most peeved, when he was at his most contentious with the organization, they made it clear to the rest of the league, don't even bother. We are not trading him. And I think the same message was sent last offseason. There was not a slew of teams calling the Packers on Aaron Rodgers because they believed he was going back, with the exception maybe of Denver. Now, their tone has decidedly and markedly changed across multiple keyed-in newsbreakers. They will trade Rodgers if that is the decision that Rodgers makes, or that is the decision that they come to mutually agreed upon, however anyone wants to spin it. So this is the most pragmatic way for the Packers to approach this, is a tepid, hey, we'll have you back if you want, but we'll also trade you if you want, which is not exactly playing to Rodgers' ego, but it is signaling to the rest of the league, make us an offer. And it allows the Packers to straddle both lines. If Rodgers wants to come back, you get a no doubt first ballot Hall of Famer, four-time MVP back in your organization. You figure out the money and you go try and win. But you also know that you didn't exactly, you know, bring out the band for Aaron Rodgers, and that might have an impact on what he wants to do. That sets you up to make a big trade if you want to make one. And you do that by subtly signaling to the rest of the league, and not so subtle in this case, I suppose, hey, we'll trade him. If he wants to be traded, we'll trade him. So if you want him, start wooing him and just line up, back up the Brinks truck right in front of 1265 Lombardi Avenue, because you're going to have to pay up for Aaron Rodgers. All right, we're going to get to our interview with Marshall Newhouse here in just a second. Today's episode brought to you by the Ultimate Football GM. You've heard me talk about this mobile game app, and it is so much fun. This is a great time of year for it too, because we're all thinking about the offseason now. There's no football to talk about. The Super Bowl is over. The Chiefs are the champs. And now everyone is chasing them. Everyone is chasing Kansas City. So how would you do it? How would you execute it? How would you sign free agents? How would you handle the draft? How would you handle your scouting department, your coaching department? The Ultimate Football GM lets you do all of it. We've created a Locked On League for you to compete against other Locked On fans all over the world. Can you be the ultimate Locked On Football GM? Choose the Locked On League in the app to join, and try and create your own football dynasty. Locked On Packers listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when they use the promo code Locked On in the game store. That's Locked On, so you make sure to check it out today. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up in the app store. That's ultimate-gm.com. We're here, Radio Row, Super Bowl 57. The Chiefs and the Eagles set to take on one another in a battle for what we've got right here. Yeah. A little bit of jewelry. Marshall Newhouse, Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. And this is one of those things where you were pretty young,
yeah,
when you got the ring. Did it feel like, hey man, like we got Aaron Rodgers, like we're gonna do this every year?
Yeah, after that year, you're like, oh man, this happens every year. It's pretty easy, right? But as we know, it's just not. Even to get back to the actual Super Bowl, it's pretty tough. So we had some talented teams there, and I've been on other talented teams, but you know, it's a full team sport, and it takes so much luck and good fortune to get to this ultimate game and then win it too. So
what do you think is the difference between like when you do win it versus when you come up short? Is there something you can ever point to be like, okay, yeah, this is why it didn't happen for us?
Man, there's just too many reasons. There's so many, you know, it could be health injury stuff. It could be, you know, one side of the ball is underperforming or just has a bad game, especially when you're in the playoffs. It's one off, single elimination. It just takes one bad game. And for example, 2011, the year after the Super Bowl run, we were 15-1. We're like, we were very obviously the best team in the league, got the first round bye, and just had a bad game at home against the Giants who go on to win the Super Bowl. It could be something as simple as that. You know, sometimes you can't fully explain it, but it takes a lot. So that's why you should appreciate wins and teams that make these runs, and it's hard to do.
I was going to ask about that. Like,
how hard is it to appreciate it in the moment as it's happening? Like, this is common in every walk of life, right? Like, you don't know how great you have it until you don't have it anymore. So do you have to try and find time? Is that something you learned as you got older to appreciate the winning?
Yeah, as I got older, I appreciated it. When you're young, you have no idea. Like I said, you're drinking from a water hose all the time. You're just trying to not be in the way, try to find your footing, make an impact, kind of, you know, prove you belong. You don't have as much perspective to really take it all in. But yeah, as I got older, I've been traded, I've been cut, I've been everything you can do in the NFL, I've done. And so I have appreciation for what it takes to win. Made the playoffs like 10 of 11 years. And so, you know, I understand that now, but it took a while. It took some years.
Playing offensive line is kind of like being a plumber. Like no one really appreciates you until they absolutely need one. and they only call you if something's wrong, right? Like that's one of those things where you're going to face much more criticism than you will credit. You are not going to get credit for 2011 when Aaron Rodgers played like Aaron Rodgers. So how do you find the joy in the work?
Yeah, you know, it took me years to figure that out too, cuz you know, there were times on really good teams where I would struggle when I took too much of the negative and internalized it, and that, you know, affected me. I didn't know any better, but as you get older, you realize how to compartmentalize. You realize how to self-evaluate. I was honest with myself, but I knew I belonged here in the NFL, and you know, different teams I contributed in different ways. But you know, you just, as the years go on, you get more comfortable with yourself and your abilities. You're honest with yourself about your shortcomings, and you're like, you know, where's the value I bring in this team? Is it, for me at times it was as a swing tackle, other times it was as a starter. So you just figure out your role and you try to do your role to the best of your ability.
I mentioned the Green Bay Packers, but you played for a quarter of the league almost, is that right?
Almost, yeah.
So what did you find was the biggest difference team to team? You don't have to be specific unless you want to be specific, but what did you find was the biggest difference?
Yeah, just different cultures and like the way they ebb and flow. I mean, you know, from being in New England to they call it the Patriot way, and how Bill Belichick runs things from top down, to being at the time in Oakland, head coach was Jack Del Rio, was a little looser. You're in California, a really talented team, but just a different vibe. All over the place. And then I was fortunate enough to play for Hall of Fame coaches and quarterbacks. So different quarterbacks who, you know, had different levels of ownership of their offense and of the team. And, you know, each place is different. Each place finds kind of what they do best and they kind of lean into it. And there's a lot of different ways to win. Absolutely. So, you know, I take that with me. You know, I think my path is pretty difficult. I wouldn't recommend it. But I got to a certain point where I was like, all right, I'm going to lean into this. This has become kind of who I am. I'm going to make it a strength, and I'm a versatile person. I can learn things quickly, I'm accountable, and I'm someone you can trust. And so that was kind of what I learned as I kind of went on. But each place has its own little flavor, its own, you know, the cities have their own vibe and their own relationship with the team. So that was fun to kind of experience that. You know, I'm like the Ryan Fitzpatrick of offensive linemen, and you know, you get to experience a lot of different places and compete and meet a lot of people on the way, which is really cool.
You got to keep growing the beard out though if you want to go the full Ryan Fitzpatrick on that.
I'm not committed fully to the beard like he has. That's true.
Can you give me a little insight, you know, compare and contrast, because you played for some quarterbacks that people know the names of. Mm-hmm. And so can you just give us a little insight on some of those differences?
Yeah, I mean, each one, you know, they're all the top 1% of 1% in the world of competitive people, but they all kind of went about a different way. You know, I spent an off season basically with Drew Brees in New Orleans, and he's different from competing in ping pong to competing in, you know, in the film room. And then I wasn't there for that long, but being in, let's, you know, say Aaron Rodgers to Eli Manning, who we're now all seeing his personality on the other side of things, but he was a staunch competitor, man. He could prepare like no one else, but still was kind of a good old boy, loose personality, but you know, was looking to put the dagger. I mean, he was ultimately a competitor. And so each quarterback has their own version of that. Tom's was a little more intense. Eli's not as much intense. Derek Carr's not as much intense. You know, a guy like Cam Newton, more intense. So it's just like different, you know, it's like ice cream, different flavors, but had so many great quarterbacks, different styles, different approaches. But most of them, I say, also cared about their teammates deeply. Different ways, they showed it in different ways, but, you know, you could tell the way they kind of encourage young guys in the locker room to bring them along, especially, you know, especially when you need them to contribute, and to how they kind of treated people, you know, in the facility, the people that, you know, that clean the lockers and stuff like that. It's just each guy had his own way of doing things, but he was uniquely them, and it led them to the success they had.
What do you make of some of the criticisms of Aaron Rodgers and his leadership style, the relationship he has with his teammates? It blew up that like he wasn't hanging out with Romeo Doubs, and Romeo didn't seem to have a big deal with it, for the record. But what do you make of some of those criticisms?
Yeah, it's just unfair. You know, as a quarterback, I know he knows, he understands there's a bright light on you. He's been around long enough to understand that. But to me, it's just so much of the criticism of him is without context. It's kind of weird to me because, you know, his style is his style. And there are plenty of people, for every one person that, you know, quote unquote, might say something maybe harsh about him or critical about him, especially someone who's in the locker room, there's 25 guys who say the opposite. They're like, he's a great teammate. I love that guy. Play, do anything for him. And so to me, that's what I take away from that. I played with him. He had a great relationship in the locker room. And not like I had the privilege of learning about the NFL a little before. My cousin Robert played in the NFL. And I learned a lot from my dad, who's a coach as well. And it's like, listen, you're not going to like and every guy in the locker room. There's too many conflicting, strong personalities. But can you be a good teammate? Can they be a good teammate? And I learned that. I knew that going in. So some guys, you have a relationship that feels like, oh, this kind of bleeds in off the field. Some guys, it's a working relationship. But if it's positive, that's a good thing. That's ultimately what we're going for. And I never had doubts about Aaron's, you know, working relationship with other players. And, you know, he just takes – listen, he puts himself out there in a lot of ways, but he takes way too much criticism for that stuff, especially when people don't know the full story. They're not on the inside. So it's unfair in my speech.
If, you know, some of it has been from teammates. So can you just put yourself in their shoes and say, okay, from their perspective, I understand this. Like, what would it be that you'd go, okay, I understand how that's not right for everyone, because people get led in different ways too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, specifically with Aaron, he just, you know, he was so competitive. We competed in walkthroughs. He competed in jog-throughs and stuff like that. And so, and then if he wasn't the most jovial person, which I always found him to be, you know, pretty lighthearted, but some guys, you catch him on the wrong day, you think maybe you exacerbate that, you take that to the full extent, and you think that's him fully. And you got him on the wrong day. And some people just honestly weren't going to vibe with his style, especially if they're a guy who maybe wasn't accountable, because Aaron held people to a high standard. Yeah. His receivers, you know, guys who he called out and he wanted to bring along, but it's in the vein of winning. And so maybe some people don't receive that well. I say the same, you know, in a similar vein to guys who would leave New England and be like, that place sucks. It's, you know, and I get it, but from my experience there, if you're not a slappy, we call them slappies, you know, if you don't mind some, it's a demanding place. It is not for everyone, but if, you know, to me, that wasn't a necessary criticism, because ultimately, guys who love football, it didn't bother them, at least in my opinion. So, yeah, listen, different styles all over the place. He's the strongest personalities in the world. You need that, and each guy needs to own their own thing, because to win and be successful for a long period of time, you just have to be yourself. It's too hard trying to be someone else you're not.
All right, last one. I want to stay on the Aaron Rodgers thing for a second, because we hear how hard it is for offensive linemen with a guy who, now he doesn't move like he used to, but the second reaction plays, the extending the plays, that takes a feel. And when he breaks the pocket, you can't have your hands on, or you're going to get called for holding, that kind of thing. So what do you think is harder as a young player, to block for Aaron Rodgers or to catch passes from Aaron Rodgers?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I can speak for myself. I wasn't a receiver, but I was a young guy who was learning kind of Aaron's feel. And, you know, he was the best in the league at extending plays. And sometimes as a lineman, that begins to be a protection that lasts 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seconds. And listen, sometimes that just didn't always look the best, but you know, I tried to adapt and stuff like that. A guy like Bakhtiari came in and did a really good job of that. Some linemen before and after me didn't do so good. So it's just a matter, and then to counteract that, you know, I went to Tom Brady, who his foot hit at 9 yards, he stepped up to 7, the ball was gone in 2.5 to 3 seconds. So, and they both had success. So it's just different styles. And yeah, definitely harder as a young guy to adjust to that, especially it not being on schedule and things being a little more, you know, freestyling. But ultimately, you know, he wanted to win. He was successful at it. And you're like, I'm going to do whatever I can. Sometimes you get a holding call. Sometimes it didn't look pretty. But if I give him the extra half a second and he makes a play, it was worth it.
All right. Thanks to Marshall Newhouse for joining the show. Awesome to talk to him. That is a big man. That is, you forget, offensive lineman Radio Row is dominated by, like, there's former players, and some of them, you see Joe Montana. Like, if you don't know that that's Joe Montana, you might just walk right by him. The lineman you notice, like Jeff Schwartz, that dude is enormous. And all Carson Palmer, you'll see it later in the week. Like a legit 6'5", 6'6". Christian Watson, legit 6'5". A tall, large man. These are enormous people. Today's episode brought to you by FanDuel. Midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because new customers get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe and secure and super easy to use. And you can bet on anything from the money line to point scores and threes drained or rebounds or whatever it is you want. A ton of things that you can put together a slew of props, points, rebounds, assists. You could do whatever you wanted. You could bet all Bucks. You could bet all Celtics, whatever. Whatever you want. That's the beauty of it. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Interesting, the response to my proposal earlier in the week that someone like DeAndre Hopkins doesn't fit the timeline. The Packers should not be trading for some of these older players. And I think the reality that we have to accept here is when you take these swings, you have to accept that you're not always going to get a player in his prime. The AJ Browns are few and far between, and that you may have to take guys who might be a little bit on the downside of their career. But if Aaron Rodgers comes back, you want to bring in someone who's going to mesh with him right now. That means veteran players in most cases. DeAndre Hopkins, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the T. Higgins idea, people seem very in on T. Higgins. But he's going to cost a lot. I saw, I had some people send me trades where it's like a second and a third for T. Higgins. I don't think you're getting T. Higgins for less than a first. And that's the starting point. Like Amari Cooper went for a first. Devontae Adams went for a first and a second. Tyreek went for a first and a bunch of stuff. T. Higgins, not quite in that league, but he's in that sort of Amari Cooper range. He can be a number one receiver. I think he complements Christian Watson really well. Fits the Packers timeline for now and in the future. I love that one. But I think the idea that you're going to find just like the perfect player, those guys don't generally move. They don't generally become available, the perfect player. A.J. Brown was a unique situation. We heard, Deebo Samuel's going to get traded. Where does Deebo Samuel play? Terry McLaurin's going to get traded. Where does Terry McLaurin play? All these guys that were going to get these big, DK Metcalf's going to be traded. Where does DK Metcalf play? Now, yes, someone like Keenan Allen could be a potential cap casualty. Can you get a high draft pick? Could he be a post June 1? To save some money. Now, you're going to go for it now. I don't really see that for LA. But yeah, you might have to bring in some of these older players to win right now if you have Aaron Rodgers, and maybe even if you have Jordan Love, just to go for it. The NFC is wide open. And sometimes it's worth it to compete, to get some guys who may not be perfectly aligned with your timeline in order to give yourself the best chance to win. And if it doesn't, explode your future cap, like AJ Green in Arizona. Did he change their life? No, but he was a really useful player for them. And his last catch was like a 70-yard touchdown. He made plays for them right up until the end. There's always value in that, especially when you have young receivers. If Randall Cobb's not going to be in the room, if Alan Lazard's not going to be in the room, another great veteran for this wide receiver group is such a valuable resource. And these receivers have talked about what Romeo Doubs has talked about, what Randall Cobb has meant to him as a route runner and as a professional. There's so much value, and that value can go beyond just the production you're getting on the field. All right, back tomorrow, Carson Palmer on the show. I have a really fun interview with the head of Zebra Technologies coming on Friday. Zebra Technologies, what is that? That sounds complicated. Why would I want to do that? Well, the answer is they're the ones that have the chips in the ball. And they're the ones that do next gen stats. And they're the one that track things like miles per hour. And they are leading a technical revolution in sports. Why don't we have the chip in the ball that tells us the first down line or touchdowns or out of bounds? Well, I'm going to have them explain it to you and explain it to me because I want to know. And I think that there is a really interesting conversation there, a different kind of conversation than we're used to having on the show. But is one that is really, really important and I think really interesting. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live, you can do that on our Locked On Packers YouTube page. To stay Locked On Packers.